Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, events in central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg, with my co-host, Susan Franson. Hello, Susan.
Hello, Ursula.
This morning, we're going to be exploring the local issue that KHOI began following this summer, the unfolding story of redevelopment along Lincoln Way in Campustown. Today, we are catching up on those plans. They signify a substantial point of departure for this, one of the two original business districts in Ames. The City Council will be holding two important meetings in the next 2 weeks, which will determine the future of this area. Tuesday, November 26th and December 10th.
First, let me recap what has happened so far. KHOI reporter Fred Johnson and I went to City Hall a little while back, where City Manager Steve Schenker gave us some background into the city's past involvement in Campustown's revitalization effort.
It really started many years ago. It was the City Council during their goal-setting session that said one of their top priorities was to revitalize Campustown. The City Council went out with an RFP and selected a developer, Lane 4, remember that, out of Kansas City, remember that? And the Council was trying to work with Lane 4 to help redevelop Campustown. And at that time, Lane 4's concept was a two-block area with Welch in the middle, and the one block to the east and one block to the west. And quite frankly, they worked very hard at it, but it was just very difficult to pull the project off because there were multiple landowners. And assuming the City Council didn't want to exercise their powers of eminent domain to acquire the properties, it was just too difficult for them to. So that developer went away, but the vision for the City Council to help revitalize Campustown remained. And again, that was not just the city's goal, but quite frankly, in the mayor and discussions with presidents, the past two presidents of the university at Iowa State also realized the importance of revitalizing Campustown, the importance to the university, because it's a front door to their campus. So having said that, then we stepped back and we waited then, rather than proactively partnering with a developer, we were waiting for proposals to come forward. And Kingland Systems, I believe, as you know, has an operation in Campustown, a very successful one. And they were at a crossroads where they had to decide whether they were going to expand their space at Campustown or leave the area. And fortunately, they want to stay there and reinvest. And fortunately, there was one property owner, the Champlin family, as you probably know, to the east of Welch, who at the time was willing to sell the property. So they were able to acquire all the property from Welch Avenue up to and not including the Cranford Apartments. Okay. Not including the Cranford Apartments. And that's what became the impetus now for discussions of our current project.
City Manager Steve Schenker went on to explain that on March 26, 2013, Kingland Systems made a formal presentation to the Ames City Council about their proposed redevelopment project along Lincoln Way in Campustown. Kingland Systems describes itself as a software and services company headquartered in Clear Lake. It provides compliance offerings to large financial institutions. They opened their offices in Ames in 2001 and moved to Campustown in 2005 into the old New Ames Theater Building. They employ a large number of ISU students on a part-time basis.
As Mr. Schenker explained, Kingland, needing more space for operations, bought three property lots from the Champlin Building, comprising all of the buildings on the block between Stanton and Welch Avenues, except for the Cranford Apartments on the corner of Lincoln Way and Stanton. Kingland Systems was seeking assistance from the City Council. Mr. Schenker explained Kingland Systems' request for assistance from the City of Ames.
They unveiled their concept of what they would like to do with this three-story building. In those areas, they're concentrated commercial areas. In the Campustown area, you can build a very large building along Welch and Lincoln Way. And the council, previous council, was concerned that if they don't have setbacks. You know how normally your house has to be set back a certain number of feet from the sidewalk?
Yeah.
Well, in those areas, you can build right up to the property line. So if you can build buildings, as you notice along Welch Avenue, right up to the sidewalk. Now, if I was going to build a six-story building right up the sidewalk and I did it along Welch all the way, you would create this canyon effect. And the council didn't want to do that. Yeah. So they had a law in place where if you're going to go more than two stories, you had to step it back, those additional stories, step back 15 feet. So at least from a pedestrian scale, it would only look two stories would create the cavern, if you will, and then it'd be moving back as you go up. Kingland Systems didn't want to step back the third story, so they're asking one of the actions the council will have to do is change that step back to facilitate that. Mm-hmm. That's before the city council. Mm-hmm. And then they started talking about incentives they would need for them to proceed.
What does that mean?
They wanted the city to help subsidize their project, and in essence, they wanted us to provide a tax increment financing, which basically is 100% abatement for 10 years that totals about $2 million.
You are listening to Local Talk on KHOI, and today we are discussing the upcoming changes in Campus Town with the sale of a large part of the business district properties to Kingland Systems, who are planning to build a building that will cover most of the blocks of the business area along Lincoln Way. Plans for redevelopment were first presented to the Ames City Council in March of 2013. I was interested in Kingland Systems' request for financial increment financing, called TIF, so I visited David Swenson, Associate Professor of Economics at ISU, to explain. Let's listen to what he has to say.
You have an area of Ames. This is the Lincoln Way near Welsh Boulevard area. And it's evident that there have not been very many, if any, improvements in this area. And the city has wondered what it could do to improve that area. And so the city says, I have an underperforming chunk of property. What we need to do is change its character, its nature, and see if we can't create a set of anchor businesses and activities that would stimulate and sustain that broader area. These types of economic development tips usually last only 10 years. But for the duration of that time, the developer gets a rebate of all of the taxes that they pay over that base amount that would have gone to the city, to the school district, and to the county. Then it makes the remainder of the taxes that everybody else pays have to go up to cover the difference. Most TIFs in recent years are really of the economic development type. There are two types of TIF, and the original TIF was what's called an urban renewal TIF, and the whole idea of that TIF was to find a way to bootstrap redevelopment in an area that was either blighted or had undergone some sort of significant degradation. So TIF was a mechanism that was to be used to help restore that area. What a community could do, it could pass an urban renewal plan, and part of that urban renewal plan would be to designate an area of the city for rehabilitation using tax increment financing. So here's what would happen. You would take a point in time, and then you would freeze the tax base at that point in time as when you declared the TIF. And then the city would borrow money against what would be future tax collections from an improved district. And so the city would borrow money, it would improve its roads, it would get rid of dilapidated buildings, it would entice or otherwise provide maybe some incentives to get an anchor business or an anchor apartment building or some set of reconstruction activities underway in that TIF area. And now, it's not just the city's property taxes. It's the taxes the school district and the county would collect as well. So it was very lucrative. The second kind of TIF occurred in the mid-1980s, and it's called an economic development TIF. If you remember, Iowa in the mid-1980s was desperate. And the legislature at the time elevated economic development to be considered an essential governmental purpose. And that allowed economic development activities to rank right up there with police and fire protection and other kinds of essential health and safety concerns. The city government could declare an economic development TIF project and could borrow money and could do all kinds of things. Huxley, heavily TIF, almost abusively so. The most notorious, and notorious is an appropriate word, is Coralville. They have a very large fraction of their community tax base that is sequestered into a variety of TIF deals. And that means that the people that are not in the TIF districts have to pay most of the property taxes. So TIF, if done too aggressively, significantly shifts the property tax burden onto the unbenefited properties, the remainder of the community. It's allowed city governments to have a lot of power to negotiate on behalf of economic development. The city of Ames has always been very judicious about using its TIF authority. Its history of using TIF is very lean, seems to be highly discreet, and they like to pick and choose when they use TIF for it to be an important project.
You are listening to Local Talk on KHOI, and today we are discussing the upcoming changes in Campus Town with the sale of a large part of the business district properties to Kingland Systems, who are planning to build a building that will cover most of the block of the business area along Lincoln Way.
The City Council requested that Kingland Systems prepare more specific plans and also meet with community groups, including the Campus Town Action Association, the Local Business Association, and the Ames Historic Preservation Commission. Kim Hanna, Executive Director of the Campus Town Action Association, stopped by KHOI last fall to describe how they and Kingland work together on the development project.
Kingland Systems is a member of Campus Town Action Association, and they've been working with us from the very beginning of the purchase of the property before they went to City Council. And they very much wanted Campus Town Action Association input on the project because they are a good partner, and they continue to want to be a good partner and a good member in the district. And so several things that came out of that original meeting were addressed, and major changes were made to the design of the
property. What kind of issues were addressed?
So originally, the first floor, the first story of their proposed project had some office space on it. There was still the giant retail space on the corner of Welch and Lincoln Way, but closer to the east end of the new property was office, because they wanted to have a street presence as well. And we worked with them, and the board especially stressed with them the desire to have all of the street level of all buildings in Campus Town be commercial. And they were very open to that, and they actually changed their plan and moved their office completely onto the second floor and made room for 2 to 4 more retail spaces on the first floor in their construction.
Were these office spaces offices for them or to rent out to other businesses?
Originally, it was going to be some retail on the first floor, Kingland offices on the first floor, Kingland offices on the second floor, and I believe some other office space available for rent on the second floor, and then Iowa State on the third floor.
And why did you ask them to change that?
It's very important to Campus Town to keep a very vibrant street level experience, and we are working to be the social destination for Ames, particularly our college students. We have always been and will always be the business district for the Iowa State community.
What else was discussed with them?
The exterior facade of the building was originally much more horizontally oriented, and we talked with them a lot about altering it to be more vertically oriented so it fit in more with the other buildings that are in Campus Town, and they made that change as well.
You are listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Today, we are talking about changes being planned in Campus Town. Kingland Systems is an information management company headquartered in Clear Lake, and they have also been operating in Campus Town and employing students on a part-time basis. They have purchased most of the buildings along Lincoln Way between Welch and Stanton Avenues. They plan to demolish the current buildings formerly owned by the Champlin family. The Champlins pioneered the building of Campus Town as a business district.
Since this development involves some of the earliest buildings, the Ames City Council asked Kingland Systems to meet with the Ames Historic Preservation Commission. Jason Dietzenbach described the meeting. He is vice chair of the Historic Preservation Commission, which works by appointment of the mayor to promote the educational, cultural, and economic welfare of the city by preserving and protecting historic structures, sites, and neighborhoods, which serve as visible reminders of the history and cultural heritage of the city.
We had a special meeting on August 19th with Kingland and the design team. They reviewed the plans for demolition of the 2400 block. They were kind enough to help us understand exactly the scope of the project, the scale, and we responded. There were two buildings that we noted that had significance that we wanted the city to be aware of, and our first goal then was that these structures be not demolished and try to be planned into the project. Gloria Betcher, previous Historic Preservation Commission, read a paper that was done in 2010 referring to the historic significance of these buildings. And Bill Malone expressed concern for destroying the two most significantly historic buildings in Campustown. Our stance was these are two buildings of significance. Our preference would be that they would not be demolished but be incorporated into the project.
And which two buildings were those?
This is the Chaplin Building, the 2424 Lincoln Way.
That's the one on the corner?
It is. Mm-hmm. It's the first brick structure in Campustown. I believe it was built in 1908 or 1909.
And the other building?
It's the Historic Theater, 2420 Lincoln Way, and that's currently the Kingland office.
So it's really the two large buildings that you see in Campustown.
It is, mm-hmm. and we felt that those were two buildings that the owner could have potentially have designed into the project. We challenged them to try to work those two buildings into the design. The Chaplin Building is it's a gateway, I guess, to a Campustown, and it has quite a bit of significance, and it has quite a bit of presence on Lincoln Way. It's one of the gateway buildings from campus, Iowa State, into Campustown. That and the significance that it was the first brick structure that was built in that area. It was also discussed that it's one of the first businesses that were located on Lincoln Highway had a significance there as well, that entire neighborhood, that stretch. We would like to see revitalization to that neighborhood and that district. We're aware that several of the buildings are one-story buildings, or they're smaller. We knew that they couldn't be incorporated into the project. We saw two buildings that were of good stock that had two stories. They're larger structures. They were buildings of significance, so that's where we landed on noting that and desiring to see those being preserved and incorporated in the project.
Was there interest on the part of Kingland's?
They kind of alluded to they looked into it, or that they didn't know how that would work. It just sounded like they didn't put significant effort into thinking about that. They just were on the line of demolition. They also said that it was economically infeasible. We wanted more information a little bit with that as well. They were trying to say it was impossible. I don't know if we fully agreed with them on that. I think there's ways that they could have incorporated the structures into the new additions. It would have brought up challenges that they would have had to work around. We asked them if they'd pursued that, and it seemed like it was something that wasn't pursued to a great level.
You are listening to Local Talk on KHOI, and today we are discussing the upcoming changes in Campustown with the sale of a large part of the business district properties to Kingland Systems, who are planning to build a building that will cover most of the block of the business area along Lincoln Way. On August 27th, 2013, Kingland Systems returned to meet with the Ames City Council, and together with City Manager Steve Shanker, made more detailed recommendations to the Council for the proposal. The City Council gave the green light for the Ames City staff to continue fleshing out their proposal for development. Then recently, on November 12th, Kingland Systems met again with the City Council.
Todd Rajness, President of Kingland Systems, described their plan. The project is estimated at $20 million. It involves a three-story building that is divided vertically to look like a number of separate storefronts. The first floor will be retail spaces, including a large retail store on the corner of Welch and Lincoln Way. Kingland showed their final design for the building, and we will include a link to the design on our website at khoifm.org. Originally, there had been a drive-through area for customers at the back of the store on the corner of Welch and Lincoln Way, but this had to be removed from the design. Because the drive-through was gone, they were able to include a split-level parking area, which would accommodate more cars.
Kingland staff said that working with the Ames City staff was a good experience. Current tenants on the existing buildings will now be leaving the building by the end of the year, and construction is to begin at the beginning of 2014. It's scheduled to be finished by the end of this next year.
Ames City Manager Steve Shanker offered a brief review, explaining that the City Council has thus far taken the necessary actions for allowing the city to offer Kingland Systems the special financial incentive they requested, the TIF incentive. Mr. Shanker explained that now the City Council should, in return for granting financial assistance, articulate on behalf of the people of Ames what conditions Kingland should be asked to meet. That is what's going to happen on Tuesday evening at the City Council meeting.
Mr. Shanker gave the City Council a list of suggested conditions. The TIF rebate was to be limited to either $2,064,540 or to a 10-year period, whichever came first. The sense was that 10 years would not be needed to complete the process. Kingland is not to be eligible for any other tax abatement, and there were some administrative recommendations that also had to do with administering the TIF. The other condition suggested by Mr. Shanker was that Kingland be required to rent the ground floor out for retail use. In other words, the ground floor would have to be retail stores, restaurants, other forms of recreation or entertainment. Kingland Systems objected to this condition.
They said that they did not intend to rent their ground floors as office spaces. They intended to rent to retailers as requested. However, they wanted the restriction to only last as long as the TIF abatement was in effect. They expressed concern that there might be a time when they would not be able to rent out the space to retailers, and they wanted to be able to rent the offices in that case.
There was a request for direction from the City Council. This matter will be decided on Tuesday night. Any other conditions will be finalized then as well. And then on December 10th, there will be a final hearing about the TIF abatement, and the process will be completed.
And both those meetings are open to the public, for public comment, I understand.
On Tuesday the 26th and on December 10th, meetings will be held at 7 p.m. in the City Council chambers. These meetings are open to the public, and there will be time for public comment.
Listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Today, we are talking about changes being planned in Campustown. Kingland Systems is an information management company headquartered in Clear Lake, and they have also been operating in Campustown and are employing students on a part-time basis. They have purchased most of the buildings along Lincoln Way between Welch and Stanton Avenues and plan to demolish all of the buildings on that block except for the Cranford Apartments, which are not part of the sale.
The City Council will meet on Tuesday night to finalize what will be asked from Kingland Systems in return for granting a $2 million tax abatement. The request was made that the ground floor of the buildings remain for retail and entertainment purposes in order to retain the character of the area as the business district for students. Kingland has asked that the restriction only hold for the duration of the tax abatement. They expressed willingness to keep the storefronts open for retail, but did not want to be restricted to do so, fearing that there might be a time when they would not be able to fill the space. The Campustown Action Association made a presentation at the City Council meeting, delivering a letter stating that the Campustown Action Association strongly supports the staff recommendation that proposed retail suites B, C, and D remain retail even after the tax abatement ends. They made this recommendation in a letter. The Campustown Action Association also made a request for keeping certain rents low in the area to accommodate local and independent businesses, but this request was not seriously considered by the council. We've been following this story up until this point, and we've heard from parties like the Campustown Action Association and the Ames Historic Preservation Commission. Based on feedback from many people in the community, we understand this is an important event that's happening in our town. It will change the appearance and the nature of one of our oldest business districts permanently.
One of the most important groups that weighed in on this was the government of the student body, which issued a very powerful statement reflecting their concerns about retail space and demanding that the university not help the project unless their concerns were met.
And we'll read that statement later in the show.
But for the remainder of this program, we wish to play recordings of those City Council members we were able to reach to hear their points of view.
The first clip we have is from Matthew Goodman. He was the one City Council member who actually voted against the TIF.
Process, I think, has been all right. I think there's been a lot of information available. I think for the student body, the process probably wasn't perfect. You know, they were gone all summer, and this kind of moved quickly once Kingland was ready to make the TIF request. I don't personally support the scale of tax incentive that Kingland requested. It's a TIF versus a tax abatement, and we have an existing program in Campustown for tax abatements. You just have to meet some criteria, but Kingland wants more than that. The total request by Kingland is $2 million over the course of their TIF. And so what occurred at the meeting was the council asked staff to go and start to work up a development agreement and the details of the agreement with regards to the TIF request, and that'll come back to council at some future meeting.
You had an opportunity to vote on this topic, and you voted no on the TIF?
Right, I did. I think that this project could be much worse. It's not a terrible project. They could level this and create front parking and create a strip mall there, and that's not what they're doing. Their objective is to create something that's at least near lot line development with some brick materials. I don't personally feel the design fits perfectly in with Campustown, but really it's the incentive where I start to get more concerned. And this is a tough decision. There are some corporate welfare incentives that I find it very easy to vote no on. This was a little tougher in the sense that there's a business that's located locally, or potentially making a very large investment in Campustown, and they do employ people in Campustown. So those are very good elements, and those elements are worth discussing incentives. I think my real concern came in two forms. Number one, I think the tax abatement program has been very, very well utilized. That level of incentive has been utilized again and again. It was utilized for Cyclone Plaza, for Legacy Tower, for Welch Crown Center, for Chamberlain Lofts, and there are two other projects I believe are in the works that may utilize that abatement as well. A project called the Gilbane Development over near First National Bank and Lori's Coffee. And then I think there's potential for one more development, all utilizing the existing level of incentive. And so when you start giving more money to businesses, I think you've got to have a real reason. And I don't know that the level of activity warrants an additional incentive. Personally. So I think that incentive piece was one of my big concerns. The other large concern is, I think very strong commercial neighborhoods, and I'm not saying that Campustown is there right now, but I'm saying very strong commercial neighborhoods historically have based some sort of connection with the community on their history. And when you start knocking down century-old buildings to create office space and to create pharmacies, I think you may be misguided. Now, if they weren't asking us for any money, I think I would be very comfortable with them doing what they will with their property. But it's not that. They're asking for the highest incentive ever given in Campustown, Ames, Iowa, and they are going to remove a 100-year-old building, the first brick-laid building in that area, at the same time. So they're really asking all taxpayers to carry a little more of the cost of city services to destroy this historic building. And that's just a hard dichotomy for me to swallow. We are big investors, so I think our expectations should be higher. The council just doesn't seem very excited to increase the level of our expectations for that investment. I would like to think that maybe they would listen to the community, especially in the sense that the community is going to be a partner, and a $2 million partner in this project, that if there are concerns that the community would register, they would respond. I'd be much more comfortable doing something that didn't destroy a 100-year-old building. Maybe there are other elements that are important to people, so of course they have an opportunity to give that feedback. I think during the discussion, Peter Razum made it very clear that any kind of string for him is an impediment to the business's investment, and we discussed the possibility of getting what they say we're going to get, in the sense of having a clawback provision in case they don't create the jobs they claim they will create, or they don't bring in the new services they claim they will bring in. And his perspective is that any expectations are too high with regards to those extra issues. It looks like it'll be a challenge to get council to add high expectations. They seem to be, this council so far has seemed to be very excited to always say yes to any request. And as far as I can tell, their only criteria in general is that someone really, really asks.
We have a chance to hear what Peter Rarazm has to say of how he views these historic buildings.
What is the process by which the City Council deals with buildings that are really of historic nature, and what has this meant to you in this process?
Well, I think there are different aspects. I do think that particularly the Champlin Building on the corner is in a famous Farwell Brown document, photo archive photo, where you're looking at Welch Avenue, I think, in around 1911 or something like that. And it is one of the iconic brick buildings, if you would, in Campustown. The problem is that there are buildings that are in decent shape, and there are buildings that are not in decent shape. And that particular building has had structural problems for a long time. I think that the upper floors of the building are now considered unsafe. It had a fire several years back in the roof, and that was never really repaired properly, and so they've had problems deteriorating foundation for that building. And so one of the first things you have to do if you're going to have a historical preservation project is you have to have somebody who's willing to put the money in to preserve it. This would be a very expensive building to preserve, and very likely the only real option for it was to take it down in order to come up with another building. That's not true of other historical buildings that we've had in the city. So, for example, there is the Sheldon Munn Hotel downtown, and there's currently someone who's purchased that in the hopes of having it placed on the National Registry and then being able to get federal and state funding to help revitalize that. Certainly that's going to be sort of related to bringing back the Roosevelt School property into something that looks more like what the Roosevelt School property looked like originally. I mean, sort of trying to bring back the original look of the windows and so on.
Mm-hmm. Is there any sort of study or document that explains the economic impact of repairing the Champlin Building?
Well, I don't know if there's a historic document. There wasn't anybody interested in purchasing the property. The Champlins themselves had put a lot of money into that building trying to keep it functional, and the reason they were looking to sell it was because they no longer felt that they could continue to put that kind of money into that that property, and so they were looking for someone to purchase the property from them, and they were looking for a buyer for many, many years. So I don't think that there's any dispute among people who have looked at the structural problems with that building that the building was not going to be economical to restore.
Why wouldn't the city on its own take the initiative to start developing the area so that issues like the historic building can be addressed proactively by the city?
The city does not own these properties, and so individuals who own the properties are welcome to pursue historical designations if they wish. But I don't think that it's a good idea for the city to impose on people who own property rules that may not be in the interests of those people who own property. And so, if the city owned the property, then I'd say, okay, that's great. But I don't think the city has the resources to go and purchase properties in Campustown for the purpose of redevelopment. And if we're not going to be purchasing those buildings for the purpose of redevelopment, then I don't think it's incumbent upon the city to tell private property owners what they should be doing with their property.
But there are developers who are interested in preserving the historic nature of buildings, and the city could
yes,
certainly...
Yes, but nobody was interested in doing that in Campustown.
Later in the interview, Mr. Arazem stressed the importance of economic development as a public good in itself.
I will tell you, there are many, many people that I have talked with who have been disappointed with how Campus Town has deteriorated. And so the reason that we're participating in this is because this is a chance to start putting Campus Town back on a path where it's going to have a much more diverse retail and business environment that ultimately is going to improve the quality of life in Campus Town.
But according to the last city council meeting, actually Kingland is asking to be relieved of that obligation once the TIF process is complete. They're asking not to be held to that.
Well, I have to understand that. We can't do things like say that for the, in perpetuity this land is going to be used in this particular way. We don't have any way of knowing what future potential useful needs for land are going to be. So I would agree that that's a difficult thing to say that we know for sure how this land should be used 20, 30, 40 years from now.
It's actually not that difficult because this land has been used in this way for the last almost 100 years, right? This land actually has been distinctly the historic business district for the university part of Ames. It has always been that. It was developed as that. And
well, and before that, it was, I mean, pick which 100 years you're going to say you're going to be using. But we do not know for the next 100 years. Are you telling me that you would tell them that they cannot ever use their first floor for their business for additional work, that they should then move out of Campus Town, that what you would like them to do is to force them to exit Campus Town rather than to allow them to use space that they've invested in themselves?
Do you see any place in planning our business districts for the city to help envision how these areas will be developed, or do you see it purely in the hands of the private developers?
Well, I think that the reason we have the incentive plans in place is to try to encourage businesses who are thinking of investing in these areas to do so in ways that are consistent with a general plan that exists for Campus Town. And so far it looks like there's an increasing number of businesses. The purpose of the original tax abatement is to try to encourage this kind of mixed-use building that allows for more, not less, economic activity to occur in Campus Town, mm-hmm. and hopefully in the process make it easier for other businesses to do better than what currently is the case.
Another councilperson, Victoria Shapinski, who spoke on the desirability of a long-term and holistic plan for the our planning process for the development of Campus Town.
First, I would say that I believe Campus Town needs rejuvenation, regeneration, attention, that the students deserve it, the community deserves it, alumni deserve it. And I have had some concerns about the process. There are several aspects. First, I would say that the Historic Preservation Commission was rushed in their presentation to the council and probably needed to have another opportunity to come back and talk to the community via the city council on what it is that they know. And what I understand is that there are two buildings in the Campus Town area, both in that Lincoln Way to the corner of Welch block, that have historic significance. And in order to have ever been or to be eligible for a historic district, which would then have eligibility for historic tax credits, losing those two buildings then eliminates any future possibility of creating that type of area. My other concern was the participation of students, and that you need to reach students in a very specific way. We had a meeting that was in front of students, and I can't remember the date right now. It was last month or the beginning of this month. It was scheduled at the same time as a city council meeting. I felt that it was important to be there, and so I was there, as was Alexandria Harvey, who is our GSB representative on city council, but very few students were there. It was scheduled for a Tuesday, and later I heard that students had only heard about it probably the Friday before. So I think when you're trying to connect with students, a Friday is probably when their minds are going elsewhere, and a little more advanced time would have been helpful to them. Campus Town belongs to students. Students are what keeps Campus Town alive, and student voices should be part of this process. This particular project, I think in many ways, is a great project, but we are looking at a tax increment financing for this project, which makes all of us as taxpayers partners in this project. Just as when you enter into a contract and you give somebody money, there's an expectation that you also have some say in how you go forward. We have talked in the not too distant past about the future of Welch Avenue, for example, and that in the not too distant future, probably less than 10 years, fire station number 2 will be moved, creating an opportunity for Welch to be a one-way street or even a pedestrian mall where we could have outdoor dining and other kinds of activities in this street. The current design that we've been looking at has a parking lot that drives through with a drive-through drop-off window at whatever business is being proposed for that corner of Welch and Lincoln Way, but then dropping into or dumping into whatever terminology you want to use into Welch, which then will compromise any sort of future plan for Welch. I don't think a drive-through is a good idea for a variety of reasons, but I think one reason might be because in the future, we can look at Welch differently. It has to come through right now because we have a fire station. But with that part of the picture gone, I think that's part of future thinking. What do we want it to look like in the future? And that's where we have input. And it's very close. It's just a short distance, half a block north of in their current plan, that drive-through comes onto Welch just a half a block north of Lincoln Way. I mean, besides the pedestrian mall idea, I'm not sure that traffic sense, that's a good idea, having something with a lot of traffic coming out into that part of the road. It's already a pretty busy corner, but that's where the traffic professionals should be weighing in on this question. Also, I think we need to take into consideration the aesthetics of that building. Are they what we want to determine potentially the entire look for all of Campus Town? And also traffic flow. I mean, this is going to affect traffic flow. We recently did a bicycle study, and there are a lot of concerns about bike traffic and the inability for bikes to be on Lincoln Way safely, and certainly it's not creating a safe situation with them being on the sidewalk. But all of those things are connected. So all I have asked is to say I am not against this project, but I am for it with good understanding of how this affects all of Campus Town. Look at it holistically. Think about what we want that area to look like in 10 years. I think we do things in an ad hoc manner too often, and that's where I think the big pieces are missing right now, is we're moving forward without a lot of other aspects being molded or, you know, folded into this plan.
Alexandra Harvey is the student representative on the city council.
I'd say Ames has done a really good job of incorporating students' viewpoints, at least listening.
Why does somebody like you exist on the city council?
Well, I think it's a unique position that's really unique to Ames, but when you have such a large student population, I think right now we're up to around 33,000, which makes up about half the city of Ames. I think it's important to have students' voice on council, because We are also residents of Ames, and a lot of the issues, even though a lot of students don't realize it, really affect what we do. You know, talking with students is that a lot of students didn't really understand what was going on. So I tried really hard to create an awareness of what was, you know, what the issues were and make sure that students' voice were heard. So I pushed pretty heavily for students' voice to be heard. And we held, Iowa State held a forum in which Kingland Systems, the CEO Rognes came, and Warren Madden was present on the panel, and Gabby Williams, and they kind of presented the new Campustown project and kind of showed why they were in support of it. So it was a chance for students to give their input. Unfortunately, because it was planned pretty last minute, there was not as much student input. But overall, students have seemed to be pretty happy with the project because it's going to bring and it's going to make Campustown look nicer. But I think our main concern, and which we can all agree on, is that the first floor stays retail, because we're the main, the student, you know, we're right across Campustown, so we're the main patrons of that, and it's really important that we're able to keep that area vibrant and unique to Campustown. If you look, a lot of times when you just put complete office spaces and there's no retail, it seems kind of dead in that area, the district. I mean, if you look at Somerset, that's kind of apparent. The areas where there's not as much retail, that's more, you know, there's not as much activity. And we really want Campustown to stay vibrant. And I think the Campustown Action Association wrote a letter of support of keeping that retail space longer than even the 10 years of abatement. And city staff has shown support in keeping that area retail as well. My concern is that some members of council have seemed to express interest in not micromanaging and kind of letting the market take control, I guess. So
well, the argument has been made that things change.
Yeah.
And that the use of this space is inevitably will change. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think 10 years is a really short time period. And honestly, as student population isn't going anywhere, so I think there will always be a need for retail space. I mean, the definition of retail space and entertainment is very broad and includes multiple options. So from that list, I do not think that there's not a possibility that they won't be able to find a tenant for the space. I
will say
it's a viable argument.
You don't think it's a viable argument?
No. Honestly, I hope that council will take into consideration. I know December 10th is scheduled a public hearing to talk about the tax increment financing and the rules or the clauses that are put into that. So I know most of the members' perspective and kind of where they're coming from. I just really hope that this current council and the incoming council really considers public input first, especially in this type of project when we are, you know, it's not just a market project. You know, if they own the building and we weren't contributing, then I can see where they're coming from. But because we are partnering, I think it's really important that the public input is taken into account. So my biggest hope is that they will take it into account.
Is it true that the GSB passed a resolution yesterday?
Yes, that is true.
Can you explain what happened?
From what I was told, it was mostly unanimous support from all of the senators and also the GSB president. And pretty much the resolution was purposed for Iowa State University to call on them to express our concern that the retail space remains indefinite period of time instead of just the 10-year abatement. And it also called upon the university administration to make a public statement of support. So,
will the GSB be sending their resolution directly to the city council?
The plan is to send this resolution to, I actually have the list of names, the Iowa State University President Stephen Leith, Warren Madden, Senior Vice President for Business and Finance, Miles Lackey, Chief of Staff for the President, and then the Iowa State, Ames Tribune, Des Moines Register, and other news agencies. I think the focus is to place pressure on the university administration. I will let City Council know that there was a resolution passed, but I think the main purpose is, or the main audience is Iowa State University.
Susan, we have a copy here of the statement made by the government of the student body. Could you read it, please?
Yes, I will certainly read parts of it. Supporting Campus Town retail opportunities. Whereas, Iowa State University has a vested interest in ensuring that Campus Town remains a vibrant area for student life within the Ames community. And whereas, the university has seen potential in the redevelopment project proposed by Kingland Systems and their building that will be located along Lincoln Way in Campus Town. And whereas, the university is planning on leasing a space in the proposed building and is willing to pay above market rates in an effort to assist in the revitalization in the Campus Town area. And whereas Kingland Systems is also likely to receive a substantial tax incentive from the City of Ames to support this proposed building, and whereas the student body, as residents of Ames as well as patrons to the university, has a financial stake in the project, and whereas students have consistently expressed their concern and desire for the ground level of the proposed Kingland Systems building to be and to remain a retail space, and whereas all indications from all parties involved since the inception of the project have been that the ground level of the proposed Kingland Systems building will be protected for use as retail space, which mitigated this significant student concern about the project, be it therefore resolved that the students of Iowa State University call on our university administration to urge the protection of retail space on the ground floor of the proposed Kingland Systems building for an indefinite amount of time, and be it further resolved that the students of Iowa State University call on our university administration to publicly state its opinion on the issue of ground floor retail space protection in the proposed Kingland Systems building, and be it further resolved that the students of Iowa State University call on our university administration to reconsider its level of involvement in the proposed Kingland Systems building project if appropriate steps are not taken to protect this retail space long promised in earlier discussions with students.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm your host today, Ursula Rudenberg, with
Susan Franzen.
And today we've been discussing the development of Campus Town as this process draws to a close on December 10th. The City Council will meet this Tuesday on November 26 to decide what conditions they will put on Kingland Systems for receiving the TIF incentive that they've been offered. On December 10th, the process will come to a close and will be finalized at a public hearing about the TIF incentive. Both meetings will be held at the City Council chambers at 7 p.m. Thank you for listening. I thank you to our engineers, Rick Morrison and Rebecca Brown, engineer in training. And thank you for listening. As always, your participation as an audience is what makes KHOI and Local Talk possible. And as always,
see you again on the radio.